Okay, so we'll start tonight's message in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. We'll be spending a bit of time in this epistle tonight, so you can just keep your thumb in there while we go to the other scriptures. But we'll read a few verses first, and then we'll commit the message to the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for the chance to be in your word. Lord, we thank you that you've created a way for us to hear your word and to share in it, Lord. We pray that as we go into tonight that you would help us, Lord, to understand, that you would increase our love for you and for your word, Father, and that it would change us, that we would grow nearer to you and be more conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, Julius Caesar is said to have uttered the words, "The die is cast," before crossing the Rubicon River into Rome with his army, which was an act considered treason by the Roman Republic at the time. This was so that he could seize power for himself. He felt the outcome of this act, which would ultimately lead to the creation of the Roman Empire, was down to random chance, much like throwing a dice. This is the way people in the world think things happen. Every event in history is the product of random chance. And we'll find out why in Psalm 14:1. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The so-called wise men of today, scientists and the like, will tell you that even creation was an accident. But we Bible believers know better. Proverbs 16:33, on the topic of throwing die. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, the practice of casting lots, mentioned in the scripture, refers to the Jewish tradition in history of throwing pieces of wood or stones with inscriptions on them in order to make a decision about something. It was an act sort of similar to drawing straws or rolling dice. So you could interpret something by the way they all fell. They were used to make a decision about some issue. The New Testament believers, the Jewish believers, used them in the book of Acts, for example, to determine who would replace the 12th apostle, Matthias, to replace the traitor Judas. The Jews didn't cast lots because they simply believed in leaving things to chance, that this was just an arbitrary way to settle matters. Nor was casting lots a form of heathen gambling, like the kind that was played at the foot of the cross for Christ's garments. The Jews believed in God. They understood that all things, great and small, are ordained of God, even the way small objects arrange when they fall on the ground. So Gideon also used an object, a fleece, to help determine the will of God, to make it clear. Now, just to clarify, I'm not suggesting that Christians of today should use this practice to figure out God's will. We have the Bible to make things very explicit for us. But the point is that there is no such thing as luck, nor is it random probabilities that govern the universe. The outcome of events is all under God's providence. His will determines every minute detail, especially governments and empires. Jesus Christ was crucified by the Roman army. This method of execution suffered by the Messiah was prophesied by Daniel Psalm 22, centuries before crucifixion became common or Rome even existed. The relative peace and infrastructure created by the Roman Empire helped facilitate the rapid spread of the gospel, which we read about in the book of Acts. Rome's succession in a series of great empires was foretold in the prophecies of Daniel. It's obvious that the Lord used the Roman Empire to achieve his purposes, as he's done with so many governments in history. Little did the Roman soldiers suspect that the paltry game of chance they played at the foot of the Creator God had already been predetermined in the Word since before time. Just as the outcome of Caesar's throw of the die was predetermined by God. What man saw as a random event in history was nothing of the sort. Nothing happens by chance. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We as Christians have to keep this in mind and refrain from saying things like good luck or fingers crossed. Now, for Caesar, it is true that he had no idea what was going to happen when he started his coup. It was a mystery as uncertain to him as rolling dice. But Bible-believing saints do know what will happen. So we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians 1, 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Only the word of God reliably predicts what is going to happen in the future. The mystery of God's will is known to us in the Bible. And only the things that are really worth knowing, that are really important about the future, are in the Bible. Ephesians 1, 10 to 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The saints have a part in God's future plans. Our lives are not pointless accidents, which only end in oblivion, nor are we to be forgotten by an impersonal universe ruled by meaninglessness. The Creator has a purpose for every single person that he has created, every single one. But whether that purpose is for their good or their evil depends on whether that person has accepted and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, so you can keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll be back there in a moment. Psalm 8, 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And then further forward to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is thinking about us. Isn't that wonderful to contemplate? Amen. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is what it is all about. This is the meaning of our existence. This is the purpose of all creation, one way or another, to bring glory and praise to the Father. God's mercy, his loving kindness, his wisdom, his willingness to suffer and die for his creation are all evident in his plan of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a payment for our sins. A plan which he has had since the very beginning. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. If it is a glory for sinful man to pass over a transgression, how much more is it to the glory of a sinless God to do so? And that is exactly what he has done with us who are in Christ, who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. He has passed over our transgressions. Now, Ephesians 1:13-14. in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Our salvation glorifies God. This is how he has chosen to bring glory to his name, by showing his mercy toward the saints. But he will also show his justice in judgment towards the sons of disobedience to his ultimate glory. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We all have a choice. We are sinners because we have chosen to be. Deuteronomy 30:19 will help clarify this a little bit. We go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is the Lord speaking to his people. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This scripture makes it plain that any doctrine that claims that man has no choice about his fate is totally false. God has not made people for heaven and people for hell. Where is the justice in punishing someone for doing something that you made them do and they had no way to resist? But he knows who is going where, and he did know that when he made them. This is what scripture says. So we have to believe this by faith and reconcile this in our minds. God predestined some for wrath, some for grace, but all must choose first to either reject him or bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Many won't. Broad is the way, after all, and many would rather put their faith in nothing rather than the God of creation and in what God says about reality. This is why so many people in the world are afraid. They have no idea what is going to happen. You've probably noticed a lot of the panic about North Korea lately. Nuclear war, global epidemics, any of the things, the evils that could happen to a person, keep the wicked awake at night. All they know is that life seems completely uncertain, made up of random events. They have nothing they can trust in, no one to pray to, and nowhere to find salvation and peace. This is the condition of the lost. They need Jesus Christ. For those in the Saviour, the knowledge of God's sovereignty ought to relieve all of our anxiety. We know where we are going. We know the important things that will happen in the world. And we know God will right every wrong, just as he has promised in his word. And he will work all things for good for those that love him. And we'll finish in Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. That's Isaiah chapter 46, 9 to 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for the words of the Bible that encourage us, Lord, and convict us and help us to grow, Lord, and become more holy. We pray, Father, that we would keep our eyes on you as we contemplate these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.